Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. This week we're cracking the spine of the freshly published 17th edition of the UBS Prices and Earnings Report, a research piece that first appeared way back in 1971, revealing how international cities fare against one another in terms of purchasing power. For individuals or investors trying to understand long-term shifts in economic power, or simply planning their next vacation, this study provides the most detailed analysis of global prices. Our panel, including the report's key author, will explain that while residents of European and North American cities continue to enjoy the best buying power overall, the picture is changing, and fast. They'll discuss some of the report's most surprising data points and findings too. We start the programme with Daniel Kaut, UBS Chief Economist and Regional Chief Investment Officer, Switzerland, also the lead editor of the report. Daniel Kaut, what are the objectives of this research each time when it rolls around on its three-year cycle?
UBS has been doing that report every 3 years since 1971, actually. So that was the time when the Bretton Woods system of fixed exchange rate broke down. And at the time, the former chief economist of UBS thought that it would be great to have an overview of what wildly fluctuating exchange rates means for relative price levels of different cities worldwide. And that's why we started this study. So every 3 years since then, we've been collecting price and earnings data for an increasing number of cities globally to compare the price level and the earnings level of these cities, and also the purchasing power of wages in the different cities. The purpose of the report initially was to also set wages of expat workers or employees of UBS, and many other companies used that study as well to basically adjust their salary payments to expat workers. And since then, we've been doing that study every 3 years. It's a very interesting report where you can compare prices of cities worldwide, and that's pretty interesting, I think.
Michael Crook is Executive Director and Head of Portfolio and Planning in Wealth Management Research, where he advises investors on global investment strategy, asset allocation and portfolio construction. Michael, maybe you can put the prices and earnings report into a sort of broader context. It comes around every 3 years. There's a wealth of data insights generated. How does this fit into the big picture for you, Michael, and your colleagues within UBS?
I think for us, we work with a global client base, and it's a client base that's mobile. So we have clients that live and work in one area, and they might decide to retire in another area, or they split their time in different regions across the globe. It's helpful for us, and it's helpful for them to get a sense of what that's going to cost, and even when they're thinking about career decisions, where they might be able to see some of the most productive parts of their working career.
Let's look next at some of the big movers, the big city movers, Daniel. That's something that people always look out for when the prices and earnings report appears. We have Zurich up near the top of the pile. That's where you're sat, Daniel, of course. LA is right up there. What are some of the big city movers this year, and what does it tell us?
If you look at development and the relative rankings, how they developed over time across these cities, again, the biggest factor moving cities up or down the price or earnings ranking is fluctuating exchange rates. That's still the most significant factor influencing the relative ranking. So what we see this time around is that European cities have in general moved up. Eurozone cities especially, because the euro has appreciated over the last 2 to 3 years versus the dollar, for instance. So some of the cities, such as Milan, which is now number 7, we have other European cities. In general, also, of course, since the financial crisis broke and the Swiss franc appreciated a lot, Zurich and Geneva are still on top of the ranking. In terms of wages, of course, the same factors matter. Also, earnings are also, of course, influenced by the exchange rates. Over very long periods of time, you, of course, nicely see that emerging markets are catching up in terms of wages with the more developed economies very consistently over time. So you see all the things you would expect to see with the global economy becoming ever more integrated and emerging markets catching up in terms of purchasing power of their wages.
And yes, indeed, some of the learnings that are most compelling are the biggest city movers each time around. Certainly, that's what often seems to dominate media headlines, is it not, Michael Crook?
I think the big city movers do jump out. in more than one way. So you can see big moves in terms of cost of living, which is always important to look at. But we also really pay attention to purchasing power. And it's this combination of how much can you earn and then how much does it cost to live in a certain area that gives you a much better sense of the overall experience of living in a particular city. You know, one example in the U.S. right now is that Los Angeles ranks number one across the globe in terms of purchasing power, which means even though Los Angeles, on an average basis compared to all of the global cities, is more expensive to live in than many of them, people who live there are making enough to compensate for that difference and overall have the highest purchasing power. We like to pay attention to both sides of that coin. How much does it cost to live in a place? How much are you able to make on average? And then how does that fit together? And then where are the biggest shifts and where is it coming from? You know, you can see a shift in terms of purchasing power, but you could also just see a shift driven purely based on cost of living.
Now, there's a fun piece in here, Daniel Kaut, looking at millennials, a sort of playful look at the basket of goods, millennial must-haves, if you will. Tell us a bit more about that.
We've put together a basket of 11 goods, so millennial must-haves. For instance, there's a Netflix subscription in it, 3 avocados, an iPhone, a notebook, a jeans, a sneaker, a Big Mac, and a cup of coffee. Typical millennial goods, I'd say. And you see a couple of interesting findings when you put together such a basket. In terms of relative prices, millennial goods, Buenos Aires seems to be the most expensive city here, followed by Johannesburg. If on the other side of the spectrum, millennials live very cheaply in Hong Kong, for instance, and in Dubai, where those goods cost much, much, or just about half of the price that you have to pay in Buenos Aires or in Johannesburg.
And on this theme, Michael, there's some other sort of playful stories almost in there. I thought there was good fun, the stuff about millennials and these sort of millennial must-haves. We're used to talking about baskets of typical goods and the things that I guess your typical millennial might have, including things like an iPhone, jeans, Netflix, a cup of coffee, all the rest of it. Avocados, of course, we mustn't forget. That was quite good fun, wasn't it? And it shows that, you know, there are some interesting learnings that are still delivered with a bit of levity in this piece.
It's right. So if you're buying that millennial basket of goods, which is exactly, Tom, what you just described, I mean, avocados and Netflix and iPhones. The cheapest millennial basket that we found is in Hong Kong, where this basket would cost, say, $1,800. And just to run through it really quickly, it's a subscription to Netflix, cost of an avocado, cost of an iPhone, a notebook computer, jeans, sneakers, a Big Mac, and a cup of coffee. So it's just this limited set of kind of a playful basket of goods. The most expensive area would be Buenos Aires. And then there are some interesting aspects in between. Places like Zurich, where the more consumable goods, like mainly food, tend to be much more expensive than many of the other cities. And what we also found is Buenos Aires, a lot of that price is being driven by the cost of iPhones there, which is basically double any other city.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the takeaways for investors from the 2018 report. Daniel Kaut, back to you. Let's talk about surprises for the team putting this research together. You all set out, I guess, with a set of hypotheses, I suppose, you want to test. Does it broadly adhere to expectations? Did it adhere to those expectations this year?
Sometimes you see typical things you would expect. So Zurich is the most expensive city on the planet, it seems. I mean, Switzerland has always been a very expensive place to live, and with the strong Swiss franc, this has even become more expensive. But what's actually surprising is that wages are also very high in Zurich, and if you put together the wage level and price level, you arrive at the purchasing power of wages in all the cities. And Zurich is actually the city where you have the highest purchasing power of net hourly wages. We are looking at net wages here, net salaries, so basically wages you have after deducting income taxes and social security contribution. And Zurich is very high there, not least because taxes are relatively low in Switzerland compared to other European cities. So that was a bit of a surprise that we still seem to have a very high standard of living here in Switzerland. You see other countries such as the Middle East cities. If you look at Dubai, Doha, they also make big jumps up the rankings. If you look at net wages, because there also social security contributions and taxes on income are very low. So quite interesting stuff if you compare gross or net wages and so forth.
Taking a further step back, maybe some wider historical context here, Michael Crook. I guess you can track shifts and trends over this much longer period of time. We're talking about going right back to the early 70s, of course. That must have a particular comparative value.
So on a three-year basis, this tells us something about the economics of each of these cities at a moment in time. But the longer-term trends, they point out a shift in terms of economic power, but also really the shift in regional dynamics over decade-long time horizons. That's what you see if you look through over the course of, say, 10, 20 years in this type of survey. You'll see the shift and the rise of Asian cities over the last 30 years. And now we see the big shifts coming out of the Middle East. We expect that to continue. And it might be interesting to see over the next 20 years if some of the purchasing power supremacy that we see out of North America and Europe is actually replaced by these other regions.
Now, on this program, we always like to get an investor view. And there are three interesting takeaways in that regard in this research piece, aren't there, Daniel Kaut? One relates to the United States and its ongoing strong economic fundamentals. Another is EM wage growth and the fact that Europe and North America continue to dominate. Daniel, on those points, advisories for investors, tell us a bit more.
US cities have been advancing quite strongly over the last couple of years, which seems to have been driven by the very strong economic performance of the U.S. economy. And despite all the arguments that the middle class is not really advancing in the U.S., if you compare that with our study, it seems that the purchasing power of an average U.S. employee is actually quite solid and has made better progress than in many other European cities, for instance. Then also the emerging markets story continues over longer periods of time. You see that emerging markets have seen very strong wage earnings growth, and there's still a convergence of standard of living of an average employee in those emerging markets towards more developed economies. So this seems to be nicely reflected in the data of our study as well, that you see that emerging economies are converging to the standard of living of more Western or more industrialized countries as well. So yeah, there's a couple of interesting insights which actually can be valuable information for investors as well, because emerging markets still offer high growth, high earnings growth, company earnings growth as well. And that story is likely to continue, yes.
And a final thought on the prices and earnings report. There's a particular utility for clients of UBS in all of this, isn't there, Michael Crook?
For clients using this, through the digital site, they can look at the different components of the data that we've created. So they can look at cost of living, they can look at purchasing power. And based on the decisions they're making, or if they're thinking about moving from one area of the world to another, look at the data that matters the most to them. So if they're moving into retirement, considering possibly moving from North America to Europe, they can focus just on the cost of living aspect of this as opposed to the overall purchasing power. But if they're still in their career, then they could look at both components of it to get a better sense overall of what they could expect to make and how much it would cost them to live there.
And that's Michael Crook bringing us to the end of this 191st edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. If you want to read more of the stories and explore the data, as Michael Crook was mentioning, from the 2018 Prices and Earnings Report, then head to ubs.com and follow the links. You can listen to this programme again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.